Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
All right, Terrell on the bench, hour two. I want to get you caught up on the reality of what's going on in baseball tonight. The Twins are up 5-1 in the ninth on the White Sox on the south side of Chicago. I told you I turned that game off. I wanted to gouge my eyes out. Cubs and Indians are 2-2 in the ninth at Wrigley, and the Indians have a runner at first, two outs. The Diamondbacks lead the Angels 6-2. So much for Dylan Bundy's been on fire. He's losing 6-2 after three innings. He got lit up. The Giants are up 7-0 on the Mariners in the top of the fourth. The Dodgers beat the Padres 7-5. Marlins 8-4 over the Red Sox. And the Reds 1-0 over the Pirates. Castillo got the win. Yankees and Garrett Cole 13-2 over the Jays. 7 home runs for the Bombers. The Nationals in 10 innings beat the Rays 4-2. And the A's 3-1 over the Rockies. Cardinals took game one of the doubleheader with the Brewers 4-2. The second game was Brewers 6-0. The Mets came back from a 4-1 deficit to beat the Phillies 5-4. Royals 4-0 over the Tigers. The Orioles pounced on Cole Hamels for three runs in the third. They beat him 5-1. Baltimore wins. And the Rangers somehow beat the Astros 1-0. The Rangers win about once every 2 weeks. So they beat the vaunted Astros tonight by a run. So there was only baseball on a midweeker. And no hockey, no NBA. Tomorrow will be game two of the Heat and Celtics. And that should be interesting. And I'm looking forward to that. I hit the Heat to win game one and getting 1.5. And I hit the Nuggets spread in game seven. Carver High hit it to win outright on the money line. And he also hit the Islanders. So in a little bit, we're going to talk to Joe Lisi about college football and the Big Ten news today. They're going to play starting October 24th.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. Because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Kings are hiring the Rockets assistant GM, Monty McNair, as the new head of basketball operations. So good luck up there. I mean, is that the kiss of death or what? I mean, no offense to anybody, but what a disaster that thing is. Honestly, the Kings. I mean, in reality, it's like going to hell, isn't it? No offense. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just telling it like it is, right? Like, is that where you go to die?
It's not the career? First place on your list when you're looking to, you know, jump up the ranks in the NBA. You know, you don't circle it up and go, you know what? I think the Kings, that's really a place where I can get things cooking. You know, that'll be my stepping stone to the next job.
Did you ever see, like, when they were good, though, with Weber and Vlade and those guys? They were good.
Yeah, those were good times. Good times. One good time period.
Stojakovic was there.
In franchise history, they have one good little section of time.
So DeGrom got injured tonight. He left the game. And the other night, it was Arrieta that had the same thing happen. Both of them a hammy, right? So guys are dropping like flies in baseball. And then I told you there's only a few games going on right now. Twins up 5-1 in the ninth on the White Sox. Indians Cubs 2-2. Diamondbacks 6-2 on the Angels. And the Giants now 8-0 on the Mariners in Seattle. So we're going to talk to Joe Lisi coming up, but I wanted to bring up the golf really quick. So tomorrow, the U.S. Open starts at the famed Wingfoot in New York. And I am just here to tell you, just so you're aware, I don't know if you saw Coast to Coast today on Sports Grid TV, but I had on David Dusick of Golf Week. And, you know, I have a friend, a really good friend, that is a member at Wingfoot. And this guy is from Pittsburgh, and he is a great golfer. In fact, he lives on a great golf course in Pittsburgh that's legendary. And the guy's like a scratch golfer. He can really play. And he's a member. The guy golfs more than anyone I know. And he's a member at Wingfoot. So imagine living in Pittsburgh, but you're a member at Wingfoot. So I was at a club the other day playing. And I don't know if I told the story, but Michael Jordan, Samuel L. Jackson, Mark Wahlberg are all members there, right? So these are Hollywood guys and, you know, an NBA owner worth billions with his Nike line, Michael Jordan, and, you know, the most famous basketball player ever. And they're all members at this club in New York, right? Not Wingfoot. It's a different club, but it's a really good golf club in outside of New York City. And same thing. My buddy lives in Pittsburgh, but he's a member at Wingfoot. And he told me, and he's never taken me golfing there. And, you know, it's not like I see him ever. I'm really busy. But I see him if I go to Pittsburgh. If I go home to a Steeler game or, you know, a Penguin game or my dad's funeral, I saw him. And I always see him when I'm home in Pittsburgh. And he's a member at Wingfoot. And he used to tell me stories about it, that it's the most brutal golf course in the country, bar none, like absolutely bar none. Now, there's a lot of people that would say, you know, Oakmont in Pittsburgh is, you know, legendary for U.S. Opens, and it's just one of the greatest golf courses ever. And then, you know, Pinehurst, there's people that would say, you know, I think Pebble Beach is more beautiful, and it's probably the most beautiful golf course in the country, but it's not the toughest. It's really a good course, but it's not the toughest golf course ever. Like Bethpage Black's way tougher, right?
It's visually pleasing. That's all that Pebble Beach is. It just looks cool. You know, that's the one. Pleasing. Yeah, that's all it is.
Okay. So Wingfoot is the most brutal golf course in America. I mean, like guys on tour, are they not saying legitimately that this is the hardest golf course they've ever played? There's guys like Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods, they're all saying the same thing. It's the hardest golf course they've ever played. So I am so excited to watch them all suffer for the next 4 days. I have absolutely no reason for any reason at all to watch except to watch them suffer. Now, I know that sounds cruel, but I am cruel because we've watched these guys shoot 20, 24, 27, 30 under par, 15 under par, 10, 5, 6. They're never over par, ever, right? These guys, everywhere they play, everywhere, even Augusta, they're under par. It doesn't matter where they play. There's nowhere that they're over par. And now we're going to see the winner. The last time they played there, Jeff Ogilvie was 5 over. That won it. So we're going to see guys, literally, there are going to be guys shooting 20 and 30 over. And they're not going to make the cut, but the cut's going to be gigantic. It's going to be like, who knows what it'll be. But if the winner was at 5, what would you think? 15 will be the cut? I mean, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible. But I want to see it because I've always said, and people can hate me all they want, I think the Open Championship is the best of the majors. I know everyone thinks it's Augusta. I know everyone thinks it's the Masters. There's no questions asked. But the reality of it is that the hardest tournament is the U.S. Open. And the best tournament, if you ask me, is the Open Championship. The British Open, to me, is true golf. Pure, brutal, violent wind, rain, cold, whipping, deep 12-foot bunkers, links golf, rolling, you just have to be perfect. You have to hit shots on angles and off, you know, banks and off rolls and off hills and downhill lies, uphill lies. All these shots are crazy, right? It is just absolute insanity watching them play links golf. Like when they play at Kiawah on the ocean course in the Ryder Cup, that's the same thing, brutal, right? So and Whistling Straits, brutal. Lynx golf. I like Lynx golf. I like brutal tests of, you know, frankly, endurance, nerve, anger, reverb off of bad shots. Like find a way after you've gotten in all kinds of trouble and you're looking at a double or a triple and then finding a way to walk onto the next tee and somehow try to get a par. Because the course is so hard. If you have a double, how do you get a par on the next hole when you're, you know, angry and everything like that? Carver Hyde, do you have an opinion of, do you enjoy watching the pros suffer?
I do enjoy watching the pros suffer. I think it's good sometimes to see an extremely difficult golf course like Wingfoot get, you know, sometimes the golf course in the U.S. Open is the star. You know, that's just the way for one way or another. And I like that better than a couple of weeks ago at the Northern Trust when the, you know, guys are shooting 27 on the front nine. I mean, that's just the way that I feel. I would rather see these guys have an extremely difficult challenge like at a Wingfoot, an Oakmont, at a Bethpage Black than what I saw a couple of weeks ago. So, yes, I do like when the golf course is kind of the star of the weekend.
So David Duzik was on Xander Schauffele. I'm on Xander Schauffele and DJ again. I just think DJ's just playing great golf right now. It's hard for me to bet against Dustin Johnson, but if there's anyone that I like, it would be Xander Schauffele, who seems to be chasing him like no other. And I thought Duzik said it best, that Justin Thomas has putting problems in terms of, you know, for the season. And he's not putting great, but I thought he played really well in East Lake at the Tour Championship as well. So I cannot write him off. I think Rahm is a guy that's been playing great golf the whole season. And, you know, this guy, DeChambeau, who's a big bopper, obviously he's a big hitter. But to me, it's one thing to hit big. It's another thing to hit big and end up in the rough. If you're going to hit big, where's it going to end up? In the fairway or in the rough? And if you're just going to drive it 350 yards, 375, 380, and end up in the deep rough at this golf course, you're dead meat.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Our boy Joe Lisi is back on the mahogany waxing up to talk college football. Hey, Joe, what's happening? Did you have a good night tonight? I know you were very busy.
Thanks, Scotty, for having me. I was telling Carver, if my picks are anything like my blind dates, man, I better get off the schneid. I need a hot streak. I'm not going well. I need a parlay for Saturday.
So what happened on your blind date?
I would just say, let's just say it just didn't live up to expectations. How about that? You know, but the dinner was fantastic. $175 for filet mignon, Caesar salad. Fantastic. But I rushed out there thinking that I told Carver I found a diamond in the rough. And next thing you know, I don't know. I was out of there.
Well, there you have it. Did you wish at any point that you were Helen Keller when you got to the restaurant?
Well, put it like this, Scotty. After dinner was over, I was hoping that it was Saturday so I could at least put in some action to make up for the lack of disappointment. You know, I mean, that's what it was. That's what I was. I was hoping that Miami Louisville was kicking off a couple hours later so I could watch the game and at least get some action in it and just get the bad taste out of my mouth.
So, you know, speaking of the Canes, my buddy who lives in Miami, and he's a big Canes fan with me. I've gone to many Canes games with him back in the day at the Orange Bowl where we would drink 50 Presidente beers at the game and get hammered. And watch the Canes rough people up. He was talking to me the other day about Derek King, and he said that he thinks that he's so remarkable that they're going to beat Louisville on the road by 11. And I was like, by 11? I was like, I don't know, you know, if Miami can beat anyone that's good by 11. These days, I mean, like I said, beating UAB by 17 is not good enough for me, Joe. 20 years ago, they would have won that game 63-0.
Yeah, great point, Scott. I agree with you. I think the one concern that I saw out of that UAB game was the offensive line did not show consistency or any type of cohesiveness. Now, was the lack of spring ball, the lack of practice time leading up to that matchup, was that a factor? Yes, it was, but we saw De'Ara King make up for the lack of O-line play. His athleticism out on the outside, he rushed for 83 yards and a touchdown. He's going to be the X factor in this matchup. It's not going to be easy. I mean, Louisville is a loaded offense. I said second-best offense behind Clemson in the ACC this year. In terms of Malik Cunningham, he's an athletic quarterback. Javion Hawkins is a 1,500-yard rusher. They have Tutu Atwell and Des Fitzpatrick. But this was a team that Miami dominated last year. They beat them 52-27 in Coral Gables in South Beach and dominated that matchup from a defensive line perspective. It was a wet track. Now they go on the road to Louisville. I'm expecting Quincy Roche to step up. If they can run the football for at least 200 yards in this matchup, I think they win. They're an underdog catching 2.5 points. I like them on the money line. Not sure they'll win by 11. But I do feel they get the Saturday night win in primetime.
All right, so repeat that to me again. Who won the game last year?
Miami, 52-27. I took them as a 5.5-point favorite. They jumped up early. They never looked back. The defensive line stepped up. They forced turnovers. The one concern, the one difference, though, it was a monsoon in Miami that day. So Malik Cunningham struggled with that matchup. He fumbled. They had some inconsistencies. And then Miami just rolled to like a 28-point first-half lead. Louisville got back into the game somewhat, but they still lost by 25, catching 5.5 points in that matchup.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, I can only think back to yesterday. I'm not really good with thinking back to last year or 5 years ago. Or when people ask me, hey, Phil, where do you think you're going to be in 5 years? I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't have time to go back in history to look at games. But I'm glad you remembered. Here's the deal. I'm scared to death to have faith in them. I just, you know, and I've been a Canes fan for 40 years. I've told you this before, but they have let me down so much in the last 10 years that it's just been embarrassing. Like, I used to roll into work with my Canes stuff on all the time. Carver High, I'll tell you, I had hats, shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, jerseys, everything. Canes basketball shorts, Canes flip-flops, the whole deal. I wouldn't wear that stuff outside. I'll get shot in at the end of my driveway if I wear that stuff nowadays, because they've just been so terrible. So let me ask you, let's go before we get into some of these other games. I want to get your opinion on the Big Ten's decision today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? I mean, they were one of the first, them, the Pac-12, the Mountain West, they were the first to make the decision. And now they were on the outside looking in. They got back into the mix. They're going to kick off, it looks like, October 17th. Again, I think they acted too quickly, and I think they realized that. And now when you have teams like, you know, kicking off last week, you see Miami and De'Ara King. If you're Justin Fields and you see Trevor Lawrence and you're watching them play in primetime, you're like, I want to get mine. And I think that's what happened in terms of, you know, putting the pressure on Kevin Warren to get back and have this vote. And now you see the Pac-12 scrambling right now. They're scrambling to get started in late October. I don't know how that can happen, but that's what the Pac-12 is hoping to do at this point, because they're the last Power 5 conference that's on the outside looking in as we speak on Wednesday night.
So they're going to start on the 24th, the Big Ten of October. That'll be the beginning. And then in the end, Carver High told me today on Coast to Coast, what they're doing is they're going to have they're playing 8 games plus the title game. But then the 9th game is everyone else. So the second place teams in each division will play. The third place teams in each division will play, et cetera, down the list. So they're really, in reality, playing 9 games. And everyone plays 9 games, and the championship game is the 9th game for the 2 best teams in the conference. And so you know who one of those teams is going to be is Ohio State, without a doubt. There's a lot of people that think that they're going to win the national championship this year with Justin Fields. Are you buying that, and are you certain that they'll be in that Big Ten championship game?
I think I'm certain they'll be in the Big Ten championship game. They are head and shoulders above the rest. I mean, over the last 5 years, they've only lost 5 conference games. I mean, they've just dominated the competition. They won their conference games by 33 points per game last year. The biggest concern is they had 2 players opt out, Wyatt and Wade. Now they're expected to come back. They haven't been given that clearance yet because both players signed with agents. So we have to see how that situation plays out. I still think without both players, Justin Fields is good enough. That offense is good enough to get them to the conference title without a doubt. The only team that, in my opinion, that could possibly challenge them is Penn State. Micah Parsons might come back now. He's insinuated that he might want to come back. But that's the best team, in my opinion, to knock off Ohio State, even though Joe Milton starts for Michigan. Until they can knock off Ohio State and show me that they can step up on the road, I can't buy into Jim Harbaugh in a big spot right now.
They suck. They lose to Ohio State every year. I'm sick of hearing about them. They get so much hype, and they're just not worth it. What's the story with the kid, the quarterback, who I guess he's not going to start, so he wants to transfer. He's a quitter. McCaffrey.
Yeah, I mean, that's the landscape of college football right now. It's unfortunate, you know, one and done, or if you don't get your opportunity, you move. Look at the kid from Navy, Perry Olsen. He transferred after the first game of the season against BYU. He came on in mop-up duty. So it's just, unfortunately, the landscape of college football, we're going to see it as long as these rules allow these players to just transfer out under the pandemic type of situation. We'll see it if they don't get their opportunity to play, and hopefully they get into a program that really, you know, allows them an opportunity to start and showcase their talent.
Hey, Joe, Joe Lisi with us from Sports Grid. Do you think, I heard that, that if you get the COVID, they have to automatically sit out 21 days. I mean, if one kid gets it, that's three games. They're only playing eight, nine total. I mean, if you get the COVID, you're screwed. I got 90 seconds on that one,
right,
Joe.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. I mean, 21 days is ridiculous, but that's the rule that they put in place because of the heart issues. So, again, we have to factor that from a gambling perspective as well. That news is going to be very valuable if we find out that players get sick or test positive throughout the season.
So let me ask you this question. At the Big 12 doesn't have that rule. It's not applicable. But how about this guy, Lincoln Riley? He won't reveal any player that gets COVID. Don't you think that it should be mandatory that every team announce who has COVID?
I think they should, but they won't because it's college football and they protect the athletes. The injury reports are the worst in terms of, you know, getting the information from the schools. I agree. From a gambling perspective, we need that information, but we won't get it. And until they enforce it, teams like Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma will fail to do so.
You know, I got a plan. How about when they test them, you know, if they're not going to reveal who has it, how about we don't reveal to them that they have it? How about the reverse? What do you think, Joe? Like, hey, let's come back. We'll get Joe's had a bad blind date. It turned out she was a heifer. Let's just say we're gonna come back. She ate his filet mignon too. All right, we're talking to Joe Lisi. We love talking college football every week with Joe. And last week, you know, let's just go back a little bit because I think, you know, I don't remember exactly all your picks, but I remember I think you sold me on Duke, that you took the number with Duke and they covered, unless I'm crazy, you took them. I just, you know, the Syracuse game, they're down 10-6 or whatever it was. And going into the fourth quarter and then, or something like that. And then they give up three rushing touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Talk about running out of gas on the freeway from Los Angeles to Vegas and being stuck in the desert with a bottle of water and no girlfriend. They just let everyone down. I mean, they said that bet. I hit Louisiana over Iowa State. I hit the West Virginia game. I hit the Army. I hit the Texas San Antonio game. I hit the Pitt game. I hit the Oklahoma game. I hit the USF game. I hit Tulane, South Alabama, both ways, Tulane to win and Bama getting the points. I hit Texas. I hit Louisville. I got beat on Texas Tech. I thought they laid an egg against Houston Baptist. How embarrassing beating them by two when you're favored by 39. And then I lost Kansas with Coastal Carolina. How did you do last week, Joe?
I basically broke even. I had two good plays at Arkansas State with the points and the money line. So they stepped up. I got them at plus 320. They beat Kansas State. I had Georgia Tech plus 12.5. Didn't think they'd win the game outright. Thought they would cover against Florida State. And they did, and they came through. The two games I got hurt on, I lost with Tulane at night. I needed them. If Tulane comes through for me at night, they fell behind by 18 points. And not knock off South Alabama. They wind up winning by three. I got a good line early at 7.5. I have a really good day, but, you know, it just doesn't work out like that. So basically I broke even, got some money back on Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, I think it was a fairly good week, week number one in terms of the action. You know, just from an in-game perspective, Scotty, talk about that Syracuse game. That line went off at 23.5, North Carolina. They were down, right? Syracuse 7-6. I was doing in-game live. North Carolina was a 6.5-point favorite at the start of the third quarter. Can you imagine jumping in? You know, I took them at minus 12.5. in game, but they were minus 6.5 at one point. That line dropped 17 points from the kickoff until the third quarter, which is an amazing number when you just think about the line movement.
Yeah, and then they blew them out. I couldn't believe it. Syracuse let me down. Like I said, I hit that Tulane win and the South Alabama points. I hit that game. Now let's talk about what did you think of the Florida State debacle? Up 10, nothing. You got this guy Norvell at halftime keeping his players on the field and doing some pathetic rah-rah speech in front of the cameras. He knew he was on camera with that drone flying overhead. I thought that was so cheesy. And then they went to the locker room. What'd they do? Play chess? I don't understand what happened to that football team in the second half. I mean, you talk about pathetic. I mean, they're back to their losing ways again. How do you lead 10-0 in your opener with a new coach in Tallahassee? You're winning at Doak Campbell, and then you lay that egg.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's been the MO for Florida State now, four straight opening season losses. I mean, since 1976, I believe, is the first time that it happened, but Bobby Bowden's first year. But just to give you an idea, this team cannot run the football still. 109 rushing yards against Georgia Tech. Offensive line is still a concern. They're a work in progress from an offensive scheme perspective. They're not going to blow people out. And I'll tell you this, if they drop another game along the way, expect this team to quit much the way they did a couple of years ago. Those defensive players and stars, Ashante Samuel, Marvin Wilson, they're going to start to just cave in the way they did against Notre Dame a couple of years ago. And that's the problem. The culture is not where it was, even at the end of where Jimbo Fisher was. And that's where Mike Norvell needs to turn it around. They got beat on both sides of the ball, interior offensive defensive lines. Until they fix that, this is possibly another 500 team for 2020.
So this week, there's games like, I don't know if you saw that Campbell, Georgia Southern, not that anybody cares, but they lost by one to them, and they were getting all kinds of points. And then they play this week against Coastal Carolina, the team that beat Kansas. How embarrassing is that for I know they beat him. I think they destroyed him last year, too. But how embarrassing is that for Les Miles? He's making all that money at Kansas. I know Lawrence isn't exactly a football paradise, but is it not embarrassing to lose to them back-to-back years?
It is. It's just an unfortunate, you know, luck of the draw in terms of the talent. Carter Stanley, his starting quarterback, graduated. You know, defensively, where they were a couple of years ago, they were a lot stronger from a defensive line perspective than where they were last year in year number one from Les Miles. So as they play these better teams in the Big 12 speed type of teams, they don't have the offense to match them score for score. So they're going to have to grind out wins. It's going to be very difficult. And I agree with you. When you have a team in Coastal Carolina that comes to your house, you're favored by 7 points. You lost to this team last year 12-7 and got embarrassed. You're supposed to win that game somehow, some way. You're not supposed to get blown out. And, you know, Les Miles needs to turn it around. I agree with you. But again, who's going to take that job now after Les Miles and turn it around? Mark Mangino is not waiting in the wings anywhere to just, you know, get them back on track like they were in the mid-2000s. So I think Les Miles is the right guy, but he has to step up. And now this team needs to progress, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
So Notre Dame plays USF, and, you know, I was less than impressed with Notre Dame against Duke. I was more impressed with Cutliff and Duke, the way they played them the whole game. They came out of the gates tough. They finished tough. They gave it everything they had. And they, you know, look at both of these teams. Like, first of all, Notre Dame plays USF. They're laying 26. And then Duke plays you know, they're laying 4.5 in that game against BC in Durham. Tell me what you think of those. Well, first of all, tell me what you thought of Notre Dame's performance, and then how do you think they'll rebound against USF? And then what did you think of Duke, and how do you think they'll do against BC?
Yeah, so I thought Notre Dame is what I expected. I said on College Football Today, I like Duke from a first half perspective because of the way they played against Alabama. And the fact that Notre Dame was without their top three leading wide receivers, and that would hurt Ian Book as he got acclimated with the quarterback to wide receiver relationship. In the second half, they got going and were able to run the football. I expect Notre Dame, though, to start fast against South Florida. South Florida is a good team. They're not an elite defense. They're small. They give up a lot of yards. That heavy offensive line should dominate them. Jeff Scott is a fantastic coach, the former Clemson offensive coordinator, but they do not have the horses to keep up with Notre Dame. I expect Notre Dame to blow them out, and I like Notre Dame from a first-half perspective to get it done. They started slow against Duke. Look for them to pick it up against South Florida. They should be more in rhythm in the first half. Boston College is one of my better bets, Scotty. The way I look at it is I like the way Duke played and Chase Price stepped up, but I think they got worn down from a defensive perspective from a heavier offensive line in Notre Dame in the second half. Now they face a fresher team in Boston College. Doesn't have a lot of playmakers. They don't have a solid quarterback. Russell's more of a game manager. They're going to utilize their heavy offensive line to wear them down. I think Boston College is a live dog here. They're catching 6.5. They haven't played yet. That's not in their favor. But I think that the fact that Duke played Notre Dame first and prior, I think that benefits Boston College with a new head coach. Give me the 6.5. I think they win this game outright in Durham.
Well, it opened at 4.5, and it moved to 6.5. I got to tell you, like, I can see where you're coming from, but I also see, you know, the Duke is kind of lubed up and ready after playing Notre Dame. And I thought they looked good against Notre Dame. And, you know, maybe it's an advantage that they've played and that BC hasn't. And not only that, just the old adage that BC sucks.
Don't let Blewett hear you, right? He went there. He gets very sensitive when you talk about Boston College. But you're right, Scotty. I mean, that's the two takes, right? Who's going to be able to dictate the tempo? If Duke jumps up early, let's say with Chase Price, they jump up 7-0, it's going to be lights out because Boston College doesn't have the offensive firepower to match them score for score. So, I mean, what I'm banking on is the fact that Duke comes out a little bit flat. They played Notre Dame, an emotional game, playing at home. There's no fans. Now here comes a team that hasn't played a game. Do we take them lightly and all of a sudden they get hit in the mouth with a very heavy running game? That's what I expect to happen. Now, obviously, when I break down these games, if I'm wrong from an in-game perspective and I see that in the first quarter or so, I start to adjust. However, I just think I have a good feel here. I like the line movement as well. You mentioned that the line opened up at 4.5. It's up to 6.5. It's now back in some books at 5.5 here. I like Boston College. I'm going to take them plus 5.5. I already took them plus 6.5. But I'm looking to take them on the money line as we inch closer to game time on Saturday afternoon.
Who do you like in the Houston-Baylor game? Baylor's laying 4 in Waco.
Yeah, I'm a big Baylor backer, but they lost so much defensive talent. You know what I really like in this ball game? I really like the over in this matchup. I know it's high, it's 62, but I like it in the first half perspective, 30.5, and I like over 62. I think you're going to have no defense in this ball game. Charlie Brewer's there. He has some running backs in John Lovett and Ebner. They have playmakers at the wide receiver position. Dave Aranda's there. Houston has no defense under Daynor Holgorsen. I expect this over to go flying through one of those crazy Big 12 type of games in the first half. So I really like the over in that matchup. I know the line opened up at 7.5. It's down to 4.5. If I had to pick a side, I'd take Baylor. Even though it's a new head coach, I still like Charlie Brewer over Houston's offense and defense right now.
And what about UCF going to Bobby Dodd to take on Georgia Tech after they beat Florida State?
Yeah, this is another one of my better bets. I like UCF, and I know they haven't played a game. They have 10 players out. Davis, their defensive tackle's out. Their defensive back, Allen's out. I don't care. They have Gabriel at the quarterback position. They have a wide-open offense. From a scheme perspective, this is going to be very difficult for Georgia Tech. You're talking about a balanced offense in UCF, over 200 rushing, over 300 passing. They're going to spread out Georgia Tech, force them to really play sideline to sideline. They just don't have the type of personnel in year number two. They're big. They're heavy. They did it against Florida State because it was year number one in Norvell's scheme. This is not the same type of offense. Heupel runs it fast. Look at that UCF-Stanford game last year. They ran them out of the building. I expect UCF to dominate this matchup, even though it's a live line, 7.5, 8. I like UCF to win this ball game by double digits.
And Cuse Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. I have 45 seconds, Joe.
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh earlier on, but the line movement is telling me I might be jumping on the dog with Syracuse. Back-to-back conference games here. I like what Syracuse showed in the first half. I think they can keep it in rhythm. And more importantly, I also like them plus 11.5 in the first half this week.
I'm with you on that as well. Any of those other ones stand out to you, like any of the bigs? No problem for any of them, let's say, like, what about that Wake-NC State game? It's NC State laying 2.5, real quick.
Yeah, I would take Wake Forest with the points, Scotty.
Me too. Yeah, me too. All right, Joe, listen, wash the hands off. You're good with the date. Screw it. On to the next victim. I'll see you next week. We'll talk again. Enjoy the games this weekend and make some money. I love you. Be cool, man.
You too, brother.
All right, that's my guy Joe Lisi on the bench. All right, Perel on the bench. Sports Rage is up next with Morenci. Gabe, first of all, real quick, the Blue Jays gave up, what, 33 runs in two nights to the Yankees. I mean, they are just getting lit up like a bong. And then what do you think is going to happen tomorrow in that Islander-Tampa Bay game?
You know what? I thought Tampa Bay were going to finish them off last night. No offense to Carver. Hi.
Me too.
It's hard to count the Islanders out, though, right? With Barry Trotz, the resiliency that this team is has shown in the hub. But with that being stated, I'll go back to the well with the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, the Islanders, they gave it their all. They got it done. It is what it is. Game. So, you know, these games going to overtime. But I think Tampa finishes it off, and then we get Tampa and Dallas.
Now, if they win again, the Islanders, are you still going to take Tampa in Game 7?
No. This is it. This is it. I hate zigzagging too. I got to be honest with you. I've just been playing the totals for the most part in this series, and I've been doing pretty well because I think Tampa's going to win, but I don't like betting against the Islanders. It was one of those deals. Like, I was on the Nuggets plus the points last night, Scotty, but I can't pat myself on the back. I didn't really think they were going to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'll take them, but I don't really think they're going to win.
I hit the spread on that game. I hit the Heat outright, and I picked them. So I was with you. I was on Tampa. What did you think of the Jays giving up those 33 runs in two nights? My God.
I think, you know, it's nothing to panic about, actually. I don't think it means anything. You look, there's been a, you know, look, man, the Marlins gave up 29 runs. That's been a theme this year, and especially the last couple of weeks. The pitchers are just worn out, and you're getting these 19-0 games, 20-6, and the Yankees are now on a 61-13 run. You know, they've dialed it up. They're peaking at the right time right now. But, yeah, what does it matter, bro? Everyone makes the playoffs. It's going to be a best-of-three series.
All right, Sports Rage up next. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. Eastern. Good night, everybody.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.